And welcome to another edition of The Legal Geeks. We are here tonight to discuss a hot new show starring two hot men and my own personal hot expert in all things geek, my partner Josh Gilliland. Hey Josh, how are you?
Good evening, Jessica. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to put a disclaimer in before we start. I broke my hand this morning, so I am on some codeine painkillers right now, so I'm going to try and focus as hard as I can, but if I slip at all, y'all have to be kind on me or with me. I don't even know.
So how's the other guy look?
Let me tell you, he's still in the hospital.
Good. I'd be disappointed if anything less than hospitalization happened, so good.
I'll just say, don't ever insult a geek or you will suffer the consequences.
Word.
We are here just tonight to discuss a show that is very exciting, very fun concept. It's actually a concept that was used a lot by one of my favorite sci-fi authors, of course, Isaac Asimov, but the idea of the robot police officers and their human counterparts that they're always teamed up with. Gosh, in fact, now that I think about this, they're totally ripping off the Caves of Steel and all the Isaac Asimov robot books. So that's okay. I'm going to let that go. Everyone rips off Isaac Asimov because he's a genius. So, all right, Josh, so let's talk robots and almost human.
So, IO9 had a great article. Actually, there were a couple good articles that came out today about almost human and the 80s homages that are in it. There's a little Blade Runner. There's a little Total Recall. There's some iRobot in there as well. So you have the different robot future law enforcement genres, you know, having homages throughout it. And it's, you know, the first episode was fun, and I really have high hopes it maintains. This season, between Sleepy Hollow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a lot of geekdom that's doing a full court press. And don't even get me started on the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. So there is a lot.
We'll save that, yes.
The power of the geek is strong, so, yeah.
So, okay, so we're here to talk about some of the legal issues that are coming up already in Almost Human, and really just a whole fundamental underlying premise of the robot police officer. So let me ask you first, I mean, what are or are there even legal issues surrounding this idea of robots doing law enforcement?
Well, it should creep all of us out, you know, just right out of the bat, that the idea of a robot arresting someone, a robot deciding to shoot someone, and that gives cause for concern on if a robot is actually making arrests, does it testify in court? How does that work? Are there hearsay issues? And there's actually a little guidance that we can see from current technology and current case law to help us out.
Like what?
Okay, from the police officer point of view, you have police dogs currently, and if you shoot at a police dog, it's an enhanced punishment depending on the state that you're in because it's viewed as a police officer. While I was at the Paraben show last week, I was hanging out with some police officers, and we were talking about drones and law enforcement. And they said when they send in a drone that's, again, controlled by a person into a dangerous place to defuse a bomb, some of these actually are armed. And their point of view is if you shoot at the robot, you're shooting at a police officer and the robot can return fire, but it's being controlled by a person. Now, that freaks me out on the idea of if we escalate law enforcement to the point of, you know, that's a dangerous crack house. That's just a dangerous neighborhood. So we'll use drones to do airstrikes. That should give everyone in the United States a freak-out moment if we actually start moving towards that, because we're now doing crowd control from the air, and that didn't work well in Vietnam. And in other countries where we've been using drones to kill terrorists and, you know, take out everybody else in the cafe, we're not making friends. And so when you look at if we do that here, it's going to freak people out and it would probably come to a grinding halt very quickly.
Well, plus the idea, like the talking about the returning fire. I mean, they're basically saying, so if you shoot, they have a right. I mean, because generally the idea, of course, except for some states like Texas, the idea is you can't use deadly force unless force is, deadly force is being used upon you or other certain kind of, you have extreme danger, you have legitimate reasons. There's the Castle Doctrine. But normally, you know, I mean, so if I shoot at a machine, I mean, if I shoot at a jukebox, nobody has a right to return fire on me and try and kill me because I shot at a jukebox. I mean, I don't care if you're, you know, fulfilling police duty. I'm still not shooting at a human. I'm shooting at a machine. And the idea that for shooting at a machine, you have the right to use lethal force against me, you know, seems rather excessive. So that concerns me, too, with that idea.
It should freak out everybody, liberals, yeah. Conservatives, because everyone should go, whoa, wait a minute. When did this start?
Well, the testifying in court, though, I think that's an interesting idea. And I know I have never researched this and don't know if you did, but this idea, you know, they talk about like with speed, with, you know, the when people get caught for speeding, can they use, you know, can you attack the credibility of the, what, speed detector? See, okay, the codeine's kicking in. I can't think of the term. But, you know, can you, some of the technologies that are used to arrest you or convict you, you know, can you attack those in court? I guess the same idea would be true with robot police.
So we do have some guidance, at least in California,
okay.
With photocops.
Ah.
And so with the California Evidence Code, specifically Evidence Code Section 1552, Subdivision A, in 1553, it establishes a presumption that printed representations of computer information and of images on a video or digital medium are accurate representations of the computer information and images they purport to represent. So there's a presumption that if it came from Photocop, it's okay. Also, there's another case that deals with receipt printouts from a computer program. That was not hearsay either, because the computer could not testify.
Ah, sure.
So if the XMs, the robot police, aren't actually arresting people, they're letting the humans do that just to avoid being funky, and they are then downloading memories into court, and that's what's being pro-offered, and it's just a recording, it should be just like Photocop at that point in time, you know, with the red light cameras. It gets weird if the machine's talking and can respond to questions like a person, because now it's sounding more like a human being and less like a camera that took a picture or a recording or something that's generating a report. It's different. And watching the premiere, that was my, when I was thinking about it, it's like, how would they do that? How would, you know, an XM testify? Would it testify or would it just use its memories? So funky things, you know, to think about with this.
Well, just purely from kind of a gut, you know, reaction level, on the one hand, you think maybe a robot cop might be better testifying in court than an actual cop. There, in theory, should be less problems with memory, less problems with bias. I mean, you know, in theory, the robot shouldn't be lying, where obviously there have, you know, been, I mean, you think of like the Mark Furman and the O.J. Simpson kind of trial. I mean, there's some real heavy baggage that can go along with some individual police officers testifying in court. So on the one hand, you should be able to get rid of all that. So you could almost argue that, you know, let's say they're actually testifying like humans, could that testimony be more credible? On the other hand, you've got like the whole computer hacker issue, right? And like people could hack into their memory banks and mess with the testimonies. So
yeah, no one's ever hijacked.
You could have that on the flip side.
No one's ever hijacked a drone before. Like that's ever happened. Not like the Iranians made that stealth one land. No. So that if like, well, if a human being had been in the cockpit, he would have known, hey, I'm not over friendly territory. I'm in over Iran.
Landing here.
So little things like that. So, and a machine is only as good as its programming. You could program in bias.
Yeah, and that's true.
You could program in anyone with, you know, pick a nationality to, you know, discriminate against.
Right.
You could program that in. You
know? That's true.
And so, or go like, we don't trust dudes. Whatever you do, if you see a 17-year-old dude, stop him. And so like that, that's inherently flawed as well, because now the machine's
following. Well, I guess that brings in that. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the machine's following orders, but it's, you know, it's profiling and violating rights as it goes.
I'd say you'd almost have to then bring in the programmer and actually have a whole, it's almost like an expert testimony kind of thing then with the programmer who programmed the police officers. So yes, that the jury could then weigh the robot cop's testimony based on what the programmer testified, how he set up the cop in the first place. Ooh, that's interesting. It gets very complicated though very quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that could actually come in. You know, I'd need to dig into the cases, but that actually sounds familiar with, you know, you could cross-examine a programmer and being able to go like, hey, was it working correctly?
Yeah.
But in California, there's a presumption that, you know, the data is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to challenge it somehow. So.
Well, and of course, is that a criminal? I guess that would be a criminal burden too. I mean, but that's, yeah, you know, on the criminal side, obviously, burdens get shifted even more. And so that would be interesting. Do you need to set up certain presumptions about whether you can or can't trust a robot cop's testimony?
Exactly. And the XMs that they put into service are combat-ready models, which was stated at the beginning of the show. So these would have been robots that, you know, you could send to an Afghanistan or a Somalia, you know, pick a hot spot and use it. And, you know, this, you know, I'm a hawkish conservative.
and I'm aware.
Most people know that about me, but I also have the civil libertarian streak in me.
Which makes you bearable.
I feel the same about you at times, but let's not. None from the children. But the issue that I have when we make war easier to fight, when we say, well, since there's no risk of a flag-draped coffin with anyone's kid,
mm-hmm.
We'll blow up that discotheque because we want to kill one guy and it doesn't matter that we take out 150.
Yes.
We're more willing to, you know, because there's no loss on our side, we're more willing to use those type of drones.
Yeah, and that's true.
If you are in that, you know, part of the deterrent to getting into a war and escalating violence is the fact people can die.
Mm-hmm.
And when you eliminate that risk, because it's
That price to pay, basically, when there's no real price to pay,
you're more it's easier to make the decision to go do it. And
so the chicken hawks just get stronger and stronger in that situation.
Yeah, let's not talk about the number of attacks Obama's done with drones, but
I know, actually, that's true. I can't defend it. Fair point.
Yeah. Bush is what, 57 versus Obama's 330? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. My heart's broken, too. I agree. Heart and hand both broken.
It's a dangerous, slippery slope, and we've done it on a foreign policy level, which is why everybody hates us more so than usual,
mm-hmm.
and we're not the guys in the white hats. And if we actually did this with a law enforcement point of view, citizens don't react well to machines governing them, instilling fear, rolling over them. And, you know, you just got to listen to the, you know, that video that the young man in New York recorded on his iPod when, you know, with a stop and frisk to go like, wow, that's really not a good law enforcement situation. And so the idea that you could have machines carrying this out in a very totalitarian, scare the hell out of everyone way is funky. Now, on the plus side with the show, it's a human and a robot. And the good partner robot is an older model that was given emotion, so he's likable and a team player. So that's a unique quality. And you've talked about, you know, the different robot movies and books. And
yes.
So it adds an interesting aspect to see the humanity of a robot.
Well, and that always goes back, of course, to, that's always, you know, a common kind of storyline. And it can be a robot, it can be an animal. At different times, you know, there have been different segments of the population that have been used, to kind of teach, you know, help their wisdom, even in their subservient kind of position is used to teach the humans a lesson, obviously. So it's a kind of a, you know, it's a standard thing that Hollywood uses a lot, but it can work, and it can work well, and it is often fun to see that interchange. I mean, obviously Data, you know, taught the humans on Star Trek the Next Generation more about being human than, you know, the other humans could.
Oh, exactly. And same with Spock before him, you know, that, yes. that you had that. But going back to something else Leonard Nimoy was in with the iRobot on the Outer Limits, with the trial for the robot and whether or not he killed someone at the end, saving the opposing attorney and getting run over, you know, and getting destroyed, you know, a lesson about humanity there. So it's appeared many times, and I am optimistic to see what they do with the show, because I don't remember this much science fiction being on at any one point in time before.
That is true, and you're right, and it does. It crosses from the networks to cable to, obviously, I mean, if you want to do all geek and fantasy, you know, throwing Games of Thrones and stuff like that, I mean, to the premium channels, the geeks are very strong right now. Physically, too. Woohoo!
Indeed. That biker you took out. So, did he, like, get close to your bike or something?
I plead the fifth.
Whatever. You know you can't defend property with lethal force. Why did you do that? So, with your bare hands. So,
I'm pretty brutal. When I get mad, watch out.
You just hulked out like, you know, She-Hulk. So, if you didn't turn green, you just beat the hell out of that guy. So, anyway, we digress. So,
I wish my story. Yes, we do, and my codeine is kicking in even stronger. But go ahead, wrap up there, Josh.
So it'll be fun to watch these episodes as they go forward. I know we will talk about them some more. But instantly you start thinking about how do they arrest? How do they testify? Because the robot was aware of civil rights for the guy that they arrested.
Ah.
So, and they're not acting like drones. They're actually, you know, doing an enforcement type of action. But they're also combat ready, which should scare the hell out of everybody.
Yes. Yeah, they're warm and cuddly robots who are like furry and with no weapons. It wouldn't be quite so bad.
Yeah, but these aren't adorable. These are, you know, snap your neck type robots that. But they're also mobile crime labs.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That's neat.
Yeah, which is super handy, you know, that you take a sample and inject it and, you know, the process and you get. But, like, that would then require expert testimony in court.
Yeah, and it eliminates, like, 4 CSI TV shows.
I'm okay with that, but, you know.
That's because you're under 60.
You know we'll have protesters now. Thanks.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get hate mail, though.
We can blame the codeine, so I will.
That's right.
Jessica did not mean to offend anyone who enjoys her.
I love CSI 1, 2, and 3. They're all great.
Good save. not my bag, but that's okay. Well, listen, everyone, thank you for tuning in. Jessica, stay off the drugs. And
and off the sidewalk, apparently.
No more bar fights. And
that's right.
America, stay geeky. Stay geeky, America.
Bye, Josh.